comes to us from the book of Mark in the New Testament, from the 11th chapter, and we read these words. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'What are you? Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door. And they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said. They let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom, the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'" This is the word of God for us today. We are having a couple of sermon series this year, one on our services on Wednesday evening, which are kind of an opportunity to just get away a little bit and focus on the importance of this time before Christmas. And so this last Wednesday, I began by asking if anyone there had been suffering from the latest psychological disorder, SAD. Never heard of it? It stands for Seasonal Affective Disorder, which is a nice highfalutin way of saying the winter blues or winter depression. And no pun intended, but sadly, it really affects a lot of people today. And so this morning, I thought I'd come up with a new one. You know, I mean, if anybody, you know, if people can invent little names and phrases. So is anyone this morning suffering from TOTD? Tired of traveling disorder. Now, I don't know if that is really a psychological disorder. I kind of sort of made it up, but certainly we are well into a month where millions of people, I think, are probably prone to suffering this disorder. So we're going to see if by chance we can kind of test to see if you're on the verge of suffering TOTD. So are you traveling for Christmas? Or are you preparing your home to receive visitors during the holiday season? You know, we know that in these days it can be really taxing, difficult traveling. You got the crowds to deal with, you've got difficulty getting reservations, you got the high cost of tickets, and if any of you were crazy enough to have flown out of LAX during the Thanksgiving week, maybe we need to talk, because they're like, we're over 3 million people that went through LAX during the Thanksgiving holidays, all right? And I just can't believe that they were brave enough to struggle with that kind of traffic and that disaster. But not airplanes, but I think some of those things were the concerns for Mary and Joseph on that first Christmas. In fact, you might really say they were the first Christmas travelers. I'm sure they were worried about the cost of travel, the extra cost that was in their budget, They weren't prepared for that. And then on top of that, they had to pay their taxes. And I'm sure the Roman government could have cared less. And Caesar was never known for his sympathy or for his caring for people. And so they had to endure those travel costs and pay the taxes. But then they also had to deal with all the crowds in Bethlehem. Obviously, they hadn't made any advanced reservations at the inn. And then, of course, there was the greatest concern of all, because Mary was pregnant, and the holy, long-promised, long-awaited child, the Son of God, was due very soon. But Mary and Joseph weren't the first persons in the Bible to travel. In fact, God's people seem to always have been on the road, if you will, one way or another, right from the beginning. Obviously, they probably didn't want to go, of course, unless they wanted to get out of the Garden of Eden because of their anxiety over the crime they'd committed. But here, Adam and Eve are driven out of the garden to some place that they don't know, and they're prevented from eating the tree of life. And then their descendant, Noah, and his family set sail on a Princess Cruise Line. No, I mean on the ark, on a very first, if you will, oceanic cruise. And then the flood comes and destroys the world. And then God comes to Abraham. And he tells Abraham, well, I want you to go to a land that you don't know anything about, but it's going to be a good place, and I promise that you're going to be blessed there. You're going to have lots of kids and money and prosperity, and you just need to go and don't worry about it. And then one of his descendants, Joseph, was a rather unwilling traveler. If you remember, those of you who don't know the story, he had 11 jealous brothers who sold him into slavery in Egypt. And then that trip sort of ended in a rest stop, if you will, for the children of Israel that lasted 400 years. But it wasn't necessarily a rest stop. They also were put into slavery. And then God comes along and he moves again and he sends them Moses, who himself had a little river cruise on his beginning of his life when they put him in a basket and sent him down the river. And then he leads the children of Israel around the desert for 40 years. Then the people, they finally reached the land that God had promised them. And they thought, well, we're at home. Our travels are done. Here we are. And then we know that they rebelled against God. And so God led them away again, because they had disobeyed his laws and worshipped other gods. They got sent away from the land God promised them. And then other nations moved in, and they right over the people of Israel and conquered them and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. And that meant another journey for them and another time of travel. And then at the very right time, God caused a foreign king to allow them to take another trip and get back on the road and come back to the promised land and build their temple and begin to worship. But they were always kind of a rebellious people, and finally the Roman government conquers them and they become subjects of that foreign power. And it was that leader by the name of Caesar Augustus who issues the order that puts Mary and Joseph on the road as they travel to Bethlehem, where Mary's son, the prophet said, needs to be born. But the road didn't stop there. The traveling didn't stop there. Sometime after Jesus' birth, we know that wise men traveled to Jerusalem to see the child. And because the king got upset that there was a new king that was born, they had to flee again to Egypt to keep from having the child killed. And when Jesus was about 30 years old, contrary to modern thought and long before Willie Nelson, Jesus was on the road again, preaching and teaching and healing and having a ministry for 3 years. And then finally, the day came when he was going to make his final earthly journey. And he enters Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. His followers wave flags and branches and put all kinds of things in front of him. And they shout, "Hosanna," you know, which means "save us now." And that's exactly what he had come to Jerusalem to do, to save them, to save all of us by shedding his blood on the cross. And then in less than a week, this child of Bethlehem, now a king crowned with thorns, travels one more time through the streets of Jerusalem beneath his heavy cross, where he suffered and died and took on the penalty of death that we had earned from our sins, a penalty that we deserved. And then when Good Friday was over, he takes one more journey as his friends carry him to a tomb, and they seal him in the tomb. And then someone asks, "Well, is that the end of the road, his final journey?" And of course, we believe not at all, that journey was really the beginning. In fact, when Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, that is where our journey with the Lord really truly begins, at the empty tomb. The cross and the empty tomb always cast a shadow over our Advent and Christmas. Because St. Paul tells us in our baptism, we were buried with Christ and raised to newness of life. We're no longer captive to sin and death. Instead, we can walk in love as Jesus, our Savior, walked. We can live in love and service toward others, just as he did. You see, Jesus left his heavenly home to walk the dusty roads of this earth because you and I like to travel. Unfortunately, we usually travel in the wrong direction. You know, every day, in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, we often turn away from walking the paths of righteousness that God has set for us. We turn away from walking in God's commandments. We find some other tempting path to choose. I mean, we know that God wants us to walk in love, but often we walk along paths of gossip or jealousy or hate. We know we are to serve others just as Jesus came to serve us, but often we would rather just serve ourselves, put our own interests ahead of the needs of others. But Jesus took all of those thoughts, those sinful words and actions, he took them on himself and he carried them to the cross. He suffered and died in our place so that our sins are forgiven. And once forgiven and restored, then we can each day rise and live a new life, a life that's led by God's Spirit, that we can live by faith in our crucified and risen Lord. You know, when we reflect on all of this traveling, it's easy to see how we too, even when we are not traveling to Christmas, are on this road that we call life. And Robert Frost, in his famous poem, "The Road Not Taken," and M. Scott Peck, who is my favorite psychiatrist, in his book, talk about the road less traveled. And you know, when we think about it, why is it often the case that we fail to take the road less traveled? Because we know that it's difficult. We know it's probably the right road, but we don't choose it. And this idea of Advent being a time of preparation for the coming of the Savior and the marvelous celebration of Christmas is so contrary to the world around us. And if we're suffering from SAD or TOTD, perhaps it's because we have failed to take that road that's less traveled. I mean, why is it that so often people wait until some sharp crisis confronts them before they take seriously this matter of traveling the road to the manger? Why do so many people wait until they have one of those Ebenezer Scrooge revelations? Story told about Ulysses S. Grant and General O.O. Howard, who both came out of the Civil War as heroes. For Howard, who was a very devout Christian, the end of the war meant just simply passing quietly into retirement. But as you know, for Ulysses S. Grant, it led to the White House. But later, when Grant was dying of cancer, General Howard decided that he was going to call on General Grant. And when he got there, he began to recall with Grant some of the old battles and campaigns of the war, as old soldiers are kind of wont to do when they get together. And Grant listened for a while, and then his face turned pale, and it took on a new and more obvious seriousness. And Grant said, "Howard, tell me what you know about God and what you know about prayer." See, Grant was staring death in the face, and he was more interested in prayer than in soldierly reminiscence of battles long past. And so as we approach another road less traveled, this road of Advent to Christmas, and on those days when we wonder, what does all of this mean? On those days when maybe we really do suffer from the darkness of our lives that often overtakes us at this time, it's important for us to stop along the road and to remember what it was that St. Paul reminded us, that even in the midst of the difficulties of life and the struggles and the dark times, that we need to remember always to give thanks in all circumstances. I mean, every one of us knows how difficult it is at times to set our feet on that road. You know, we're ungrateful children of God. And yet, when we fill our hearts with thankfulness, which is one of the disciplines of that Christian journey, it's often the road that is less traveled. But when we take it, that sense grows and grows, and as we grow. And so we travel now. We trust Jesus for the things that we need in our life. We trust this child of Bethlehem whose birth we're going to celebrate. You know, this experienced traveler that came for us. You know, I none of us knows what lies ahead on our own journey. You know, what are the good times that we're going to be facing? What are the frightening times which may lie ahead? But our Lord knows. And so we walk by faith and not by sight. We trust Him to lead us as we travel, because we know He travels with us on this journey through life, to eternal life in His presence. You know, this Advent road, this Advent journey needs a lot of travelers. I'll tell you, the trip at times is going to be lonesome. There are going to be tempting divergences along the way from what God wants us to do. But you'll discover at the end that there has been someone else who has traveled this way before. And we are going to celebrate His birth on December 25th. Will you pray with me? Oh, gracious Father, You've put us on this road of life, and we know that there are joys, there are sorrows, there are dangers, but You've walked that road for us so that we might walk that road with You. continue to be with us in those times of joy, those times of struggle and difficulty, and continue to send your blessing upon each of us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.